Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening for your goodness and kindness. Thankful for the privilege that you have afforded us to be able to assemble together to study a portion of your word. We recognize that the human mind is incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual, apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it is a request that the Holy Spirit will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this evening. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen. We move now to Exodus chapter 19. We'll look at verses 1 and 2. And for the most part, it is really an introduction, so there's not much that will go in terms of application, because we are introducing this 19th chapter that is full of applications. That as we go into the chapter, you will see. But for now, all we have is just an introduction to get us ready for what's coming from next week or so. Verse 1 reads in the 1984 edition of the NIV. In the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day they came to the desert of Sinai, after they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Again, this section of Exodus 19, verses 1 and 2. It's really a continuation of the narrative of Israel's travels after they crossed the Red Sea, as well as the introduction to the larger section that deals with the Lord's interaction with Israel at the desert of Sinai, that goes from Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, to Exodus chapter 24. Verse 18. It's a long section, but this is the introduction. Now we are informed of Israel's arrival and encampment in the desert of Sinai. The narrative reminds us, though, that it is important we pay attention to details that will help another person to grasp the point we want to convey. That's the major thing, is that we pay attention to details. That you be a detail-oriented person, especially if you're trying to help people to see your point or whatever it is that you want to communicate. That we try to be detailed. Now, in our passage, the point Moses wanted to convey is that Israel encamped at the desert of Sinai. That's all he wanted in these two verses, just to tell us, yeah, that's where they camped. Well, he did this by providing important details that the readers should be aware of to grasp his point. The first detail Moses provided then concerns the general timing of Israel's arrival to the desert of Sinai, as given in the sentence again of Exodus 19, verse 1, where it says, in the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on the very day. Now, the timing is specifically stated in the phrase, the third month. The third month. Now, by the way, Israel's calendar was based on a lunar month that began with every new moon. So the phrase, the third month, was probably used to convey that something significant was about to occur in the history of Israel during their travels, during their exodus. And we will continue to review this so that you remember it, because of what we have here taught. Now we say this again because third or three, when used in Scripture, could signal that something significant is about to happen. It was after Balaam beat his donkey the third time that the animal spoke to him with a human voice, as we read in Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. Numbers chapter 22, verse 28. It reads, "Then the Lord," that's whether I read it or not, anytime you see that those four letter words, Lord, all in cap, know that we're talking about Yahweh. "Then the Lord opened the donkey's mouth, and she said to Balaam, 'What have I done to you to make you beat me these three times?'" And it was after Yahweh called out to Samuel the third time that Eli the priest realized that it was Yahweh that was calling on the boy, as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 8. For Samuel chapter 3, verse 8. It reads, "The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling on the boy." Now, prophet Elijah prayed to Yahweh to show himself as the supreme God after three times of instructing water to be poured on the sacrifice that he was about to make to Yahweh, according to 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 34 through 38. First Kings chapter 18, verses 34 through 38 reads, "Do it again," he said, and they did it again. "Do it a third time," he ordered, and they did it the third time. The water ran down around the altar and even filled the trench. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet stepped forward and prayed, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and have done thee all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, and the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Again, the betrayal of Jesus Christ occurred after the third time that he went away from his disciples to pray while they were in Gethsemane, according to Mark chapter 14, verses 41 through 42. Mark chapter 14, verses 41 through 42. He said, "Returning the third time, he said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. So we get the idea then, or the sense, that the word thought may in certain situations in our scripture convey that something significant was about to take place. Now this was certainly the case with Israel, considering all that transpired while Israel was camped at the desert of Sinai that Moses narrated beginning in this 19th chapter of Exodus. We're going to see something unusual happening. And that is what is the significance of saying the third month. There's a reason for that. It's to get us ready for what's coming in this chapter. Something, we're going to see a lot of spectacular things taking place in this 19th chapter. It will make, of course, much sense though. I mean, it will not make much sense to speak of the third month without a reference point. Now, thus, Moses conveyed that the third month is measured from the time of Israel's departure from the country or nation of Egypt, as in that clause of verse 1 of Exodus 19 we're looking at. It says, after the Israelites left Egypt. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, after the Israelites went out from the land of Egypt. Now, this is because we have a Hebrew word that no doubt means earth, as the surface of the earth where humankind lives, or the world, as the word is used in the blessing of God to mankind through the first parents, Adam and Eve, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. Genesis and hold on to Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. It is, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth. That's a Hebrew word, eres. Fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now the word may mean land though, with different nuances. Land can refer to a country or a territory, as it is used to describe the country of Egypt in the instruction of the Pharaoh of the time of Joseph concerning Israel when they first moved to Egypt, regarding their location, relocation and so forth, in Genesis chapter 47, verse 6. Genesis chapter 47, verse 6. It reads, and the land of Egypt is before you. Settle your father and your brothers in the best part of the land. Let them live in Goshen. And if you know of any among them with special ability, put them in charge of my own livestock. See, the phrase land of Egypt, of course, refers to the entire country of Egypt. Now, so it is in this sense of country or nation that our Hebrew word is used in Exodus 19, verse 1. So once they left the nation or the country of Egypt. So anyway, Moses was precise in the second information that he described, the timing of Israel's arrival to the desert of Sinai because of the phrase that we're looking at, Exodus 19 verse 1, when it says, on the very day. Now remember, the thing I emphasize is, when you talk to people or you're instructing people, try to be as detailed as you can so they don't misunderstand you, so they get clearly what you mean. Now that's why details are important. And I know a whole lot of us just don't know how to be precise. We have to, you know, you want to make a simple point, you have to run around before you make it. We all need to learn how to be precise to the point. And so, part of being precise is giving information that gives a detail but in a short way. So that's what we have here on this, when it says on the very day. Now, literally, the Hebrew reads, on this day, on this day. Now, this is because of the Hebrew word that may mean this as a reference to an entity regarded as a part of the discourse, although often it is used to point to something forward. Now, the word may mean that as well, as it is used to describe the period that God will bring the day of the firstborn in Egypt, as described in Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. Exodus chapter 12, verse 12. He reads, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn, both men and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. Well, that word, on that, that word, that, is the same Hebrew word translated this in Exodus 19, verse 1. Now, the word may also mean very, very, as it is used to describe the precise moment of the departure of Israel from Egypt, as mentioned still in that 12th chapter of Exodus. Look at verse 41. Exodus chapter 12, verse 41. It reads, at the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. That's, we continue to see these precise definitions. Now, the Hebrew word may mean the same, as it is used to describe what Israel did before the fall of the city of Jericho, as we read in Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. Joshua chapter 6, verse 15. It is, on the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city seven times in the same manner. That was same, the same Hebrew word translated this. Except that on that day, they circled the city seven times. Now, in our passage of Exodus 19, verse 1, the word really has a sense of very, very, to convey the meaning precise, so that the literal phrase of Exodus 19 verse 1, when we say, on this day, should be understood to mean the precise day or the exact day. The precise or the exact day. So Moses, no doubt, had a precise day in mind in his description, but he did not clearly here specify that to us. So we are left to gaze, so to say, what it, this precisely was. Now some take the day as a reference to the first day of the third new moon, or the month of Israel's departure from Egypt. So they say it refers to that, you know, first day of the third moon or the third month after they left Egypt. Well, the context, although he didn't tell us, but the context helps us to be much more precise. So, although that's possible, but it is our interpretation that the precise day Moses had in mind, as he described the day of Israel's arrival to the desert of Sinai, was the 15th day of the third month. The 15th day. That's our interpretation, or my interpretation too. Now, how did I arrive at that? The text supports that. Now, this interpretation, again, is supported by the fact that Israel left on the 15th day of the first month of Israel's calendar. Now, the Passover was celebrated on the eve of the 14th day, as stated in Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Exodus chapter 12, verse 6. Here it is: take care of them until the 14th day of the month. That's the animals. When all the people of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. That's when they celebrated the Passover. But Israel left the day after the celebration, so that it is then on the 15th day that Israel left Egypt. Now this interpretation, of course, is further confirmed by the fact that it was on the 15th day of the second month that Israel arrived at the desert of Sin, as we read in Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. Exodus Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. It reads, "The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had come out of Egypt." So you see, it refers to that 15th day. So we know with certainty that it was on the 15th day that they left, although the celebration of the Passover made that clear. But here we have a clear confirmation in a written form that yes, it was on the 15th day. Hence, it is more likely then that it was on the 15th day of the third month that Israel arrived at the desert of Sinai. And that would make a whole lot more sense in terms of the series of things happening in threes. If it's on the second, if it is on the third month, the 15th day, and we had the second month, the 15th day, and that would help us come to the same conclusion or reach that conclusion that something unusual is about to take place in this 19th chapter. Now, be that as it may, Moses communicated the main point that he wanted to convey in this section of Exodus chapter 19, verses 1 and 2. Again, that is, of course, we're dealing with the arrival of Israel at the desert of Sinai. That is his major point. He just wants to tell us, yes, our travel has brought us on the third month, on the 15th day, at the place called the desert of Sinai. That's what we have in verse 19, verse 1. Again, it says, they came to the desert of Sinai. Now, the phrase desert of Sinai refers to a desert region in the vicinity of Mount Sinai in the southern part of the peninsula, or what we call the Sinai Peninsula. Now, the phrase is used really 13 times. This phrase, desert of Sinai, is used 13 times in the Old Testament scripture. It occurs twice in Exodus, specifically in the 19th chapter. That, of course, is the focus of our study. It is used once in the book of Leviticus to describe the location where God instructed Israel regarding offerings to be offered to him, as we read in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 38. Leviticus chapter 7, verse 38. It reads, which the Lord gave Moses on Mount Sinai on the day he commanded the Israelites to bring their offerings to the Lord in the desert of Sinai. Now, the rest of the occurrences of the phrase is really in the book of Numbers, where it is predominantly used to refer to the place several events occurred in God's dealing with Israel. For example, it is the place where Moses carried out the census of the Israelites in pursuance to God's instruction to him to take census of the people, according to Numbers chapter 1, verse 19. Numbers. Now hold on to Numbers. So, there are two more passages after this one. Numbers chapter 1, verse 19. It is, as the Lord commanded Moses, so he counted them in, again that refers the desert of Sinai. It was the location of the date of the two sons of Aaron for improper use of fire to sacrifice before the Lord or before Yahweh, as we read in Numbers chapter 3, verse 4. Numbers chapter 3, verse 4. It is Nadab and Abihu, however, fell dead before the Lord when they made an offering with unauthorized fire before him in the desert. Look at that, desert of Sinai. They had no sons, so only Eleazar and Itamar served as priests during the lifetime of their father Aaron. So that is, see, when I say this introduction to the desert of Sinai is very important because of so many things that happened. But we're going to, of course, begin with some amazing things that God communicated to Israel later on in this 19th chapter. Now, the first celebration, though, of the Passover in the second year of Israel's travel from Egypt under God's command occurred in this location. As we read still in Numbers, look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Numbers chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. It is, the Lord spoke to Moses in the desert of Sinai in the first month of the second year after they came out of Egypt. He said, have the Israelites celebrate the Passover at the appointed time. Celebrate it at the appointed time, at twilight on the 14th day of this month, in accordance with all its rules and regulations. So Moses told the Israelites to celebrate the Passover, and they did so in the desert of Sinai at twilight on the 14th day of the first month. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. So these examples that indicate several activities of Israel in relationship with their God during the Exodus, or during their Exodus, all took place in the desert of Sinai. But they, of course, are not the only once, as will become evident in our exposition of this 19th chapter of Exodus, where we're going to see something very, very unique that happened that has never been repeated and probably will never be repeated in God's dealing with humans on this planet. Be that as it may, as we indicated, Moses stated the important point that he wanted the reader to know. Although he used details that will help the reader grasp his point. However, he did not stop there though. He gave you the exact time, exact month, and the exact day. But he didn't stop there. He proceeded though to provide an explanation or the details that are involved in the point he made. Now, we said it's because of the first clause of Exodus 19, verse 2. Look at the very first clause. Exodus 19, verse 2 reads, after they set out from Rephidim, Now, the word after here in the NIV appears to be how the translators and of course a handful of English versions interpreted a Hebrew particle used that is often translated and in our English versions. Now other English versions either use the word when to translate it or in our particular verse, or they left it completely untranslated. Nonetheless, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. In our clause, it is probably used in an explanatory sense to explain something. Now, this will mean that the Hebrew word could be translated either that is or for. In other words, instead of saying after, it could be that is they set out from Rephidim, or it can be for they set out from Rephidim. The implication being that Moses was eager to convey the point of the arrival of the Israelites to the desert of Sinai in verse 1. But after stating this important point, he proceeded to explain how that actually took place. Now, Moses' explanation about the arrival of the Israelites at the desert of Sinai began with referencing the point of their departure that landed them in the desert of Sinai. It is this explanation that he gave them in the sentence of Exodus 19 verse 2. Again, it reads, "They set out from Rephidim." They set out from Rephidim. Now, Moses' mention of Rephidim is a reminder of facts that he previously stated. It is a reminder that it was the location Israel camped where they encountered lack of drinking water, which God handled after their complaint against Moses and Aaron, as indicated in Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. Hold on to that 17th chapter for now. Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 and 2. It reads, "The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, where there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, 'Give us water to drink.' Moses replied, 'Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?'" Now, another fact, so that's the first reminder, they didn't have water. But God supplied it miraculously, of course. Another fact, that the mention of Rephidim should remind the reader, is that it was the location that God delivered Israel from the almost a surprise military attack of the Amalekites, according to that Exodus 17, look at verse 8. It reads, "The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim." Their first was so to say, that's where you're called. So Rephidim, as a reference point, is very important in their history, so to say. It was also then, after the defeat of the Amalekites, that Moses erected an altar for Yahweh that is described in the same Exodus 17. Look at verses 15 and 16. Exodus 17 that we're looking at, look at verses 15 and 16. It reads, "Moses built an altar and called it, 'The Lord is my banner.' He said, 'For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation.'" So anyhow, Moses then conveyed that the journey to the desert of Sinai commenced from Rephidim, the last known place Israel stopped and where several events took place. Now Moses did not tell us of what happened on the road to the desert of Sinai, or how many days the journey took, or how they were guided in the route they took, although we can safely assume that Yahweh guided their path of travel using the same method that he had done before, that's described for us in the 13th chapter of Exodus, verse 21. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. He reads, "By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night, in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night." Now that aside then, Moses simply stated the result of Israel's movement from Rephidim. The result is that they reached the desert of Sinai, as in the next sentence of where we're studying Exodus 19 verse 2. Again it says, "They entered the desert of Sinai." Now this sentence indicates that the result of Israel's movement from Rephidim is entering the desert of Sinai. Now this is because the sentence, "They entered the desert of Sinai," is literally from the Hebrew, "and they came to the desert of Sinai." And they came to the desert of Sinai. Anyway, the difference between the reading of the NIV and the literal translation really is primarily the word and in the literal translation. That's not found in the NIV. Now the word "and" is translated from the Hebrew particle that we mentioned previously, that's often translated "and" in our English versions. However, the Hebrew particle has several other usages. In the sentence that we are considering, it is used either to introduce the result of Israel's movement from Rephidim, so that it may be translated something like "so" or "therefore." In other words, instead of even the literal "and they came to the desert of Sinai," we'll say "so they came to the desert of Sinai." In that way, it tells us of the result of this movement. Of course, it's also possible to translate the Hebrew particle with the sense of "then" to be "and then," and then we'll say "and then they entered," or "they came to the desert of Sinai." Now it's really, the both meaning though here may be implied in that what results from Israel's movement from Rephidim is their arrival at the desert of Sinai, and their arrival is actually the next significant event from their movement from Rephidim. Whatever happened in between, we're not told. So there was nothing significant. That's what's reporting to believers to know, and that is cut out. So all we know, they left, here's the result. In between, whatever transpired, God the Holy Spirit did not see fit to give it to us, because there may be nothing significant that happened. Now anyway, the word "entered" of the NIV is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to go or to come. So the word may mean, of course, to reach, as it is used to describe the location of Israel when God stopped giving them the manna once they entered the land of Canaan. That we have actually studied as a reference in Exodus chapter 16, verse 35. Exodus chapter 16, verse 35. It tells us the Israelites ate manna for 40 years until they came to a land that was settled. They ate manna until they reached the border of Canaan. That the Lord stopped giving them the manna. Now the Hebrew word may mean to arrive, as it is used really in the request of Nehemiah to King Artaxerxes to give him a letter that will ensure that he was not molested by the governors of Trans-Euphrates on his way to return to Jerusalem to help in rebuilding the city, according to Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 7 reads, I also said to him, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of Trans-Euphrates so that they will provide me safe conduct until I arrive in Judah. That word arrive is the same word translated entered. Now in our passage of Exodus 19, verse 2 though, the word is used in the sense of to enter, alright? That is to come or to go into, so that Israel came or entered really the desert of Sinai after they left Rephidim. If they stopped on the road, it may have just been maybe a night or two, who knows? But the issue is they didn't come, they weren't there for so long because nothing significant happened there. So anyway, another result of Israel's movement from Rephidim then is their encampment in the desert of Sinai, as stated in the clause of Exodus chapter 19 that we're studying, verse 2. Exodus 19, verse 2 that we're studying, reads again, and Israel came there in the desert in front of the mountain. Now everything that's reported later on should have stayed quite some time there. So this time though, where it says an Israel, that the Hebrew particle and here, translated and, has a sense of a marker of addition of a second result of Israel's movement from Rephidim. So the word Camden is translated from a Hebrew word that may mean to camp, as it is used to describe a place the Israelites stopped temporarily on their way to Canaan, where there, of course, there was no water, which I referred to in Exodus chapter 17, verse 1. Again, Exodus 17, verse 1. Again, it's a reminder. It says, the whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So the word may mean, of course, to besiege a city, as it is used in the military attempt of the Ammonites to capture Jabesh Gilead, as recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. He reads, Nahash the Ammonite went up and besieged Jabesh Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said to him, make a treaty with us and we'll be subject to you. Now, the same word may mean to settle, as it is used in the pronouncement of a curse on Ariel, or Ariel as described by prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 29, verse 1. Isaiah 29, verse 1. It reads, "Woe to you, Ariel." Ariel, the city where David settled. That's how Hebrew word here is called, settled. "Add year to year and let your cycle of festival go on." But the issue here is a curse on them. Now, in our passage of Exodus 19, verse 2, the word there simply means to camp. That is, to live in or as if in a tent. In other words, they use a tent as a dwelling place for some time. We don't know how long, but they really spend some time in this place. Doesn't, all we're saying is that the Israelites, they set up their tents and lived up in the desert of Sinai. Now, the location of their tents, though, is described in the phrase of Exodus 19, verse 2, where it says, "In front of the mountain." In front of the mountain. Now, the Hebrew use the definite article to describe the word mountain, so that it is the mountain. So, the implication is the mountain is one that is well known. Now, this mountain, of course, is Horeb. That is described severally in the Old Testament scripture with the phrase mountain of God. Now, the location where Yahweh first appeared to Moses. That's this place, Horeb. Now, Horeb is really the general name for the whole mountain range of which Sinai was one of the summits. So that Mount Horeb is another name of Mount Sinai. Now we know this because God appeared to Israel in Mount Sinai, which is one of the things that we're going to see when we get there as something that is very unique, that's happened, never to repeat in this 19th chapter, but that is referenced briefly in Exodus 19, verse 18. Exodus 19, verse 18 reads, "My Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace. The whole mountain trembled violently." So, we'll see that later on, but just to make you know, that's that mountain very at the edge of it that this was settling. But of course, in Moses' farewell address, now this appearance of Yahweh to them was described as taking place at Mount Horeb. Because we read here the whole mountain, that's Mount Sinai. But later on, Moses didn't use that word Sinai, he just said Horeb in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15. That's when he was giving his last address to Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 15. Here he described what happened there. He said, "You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire." That's Mount Sinai. "Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully." In other words, Be careful of idolatry. Something that we Christians have to watch out. And the sad thing to me, in my judgment, a whole lot of us get involved in idolatry and don't even know it. Because we don't want to know. We don't want something to disrupt our lives. Whatever it is that we enjoy, we don't want something to disrupt it. So we go in idolatry, and if someone told us, for example, we're in idolatry, we won't believe him or her. Anyway, so the point is that Horeb is an alternative name then for Mount Sinai. Now, Horeb featured many times in God's relationship with his covenant people. See, Horeb was the place God provided water to Israel during the Exodus when Moses struck the rock and water came out, according to Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. Exodus chapter 17, verse 6. It is, I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb, strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now it was also a place where Israel got involved in idolatry, according to Psalm 106, verse 19. Psalm 106, verse 19. Psalm 106, verse 19. It is, at Horeb, they made a calf and worshipped an idol cast from metal. So there's much that went through in this place. And so Horeb is described with the phrase, the mountain of God, as the place Elijah went to escape the wrath of Jezebel, and where God spoke to him, according to 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8. Exodus, 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 8. It is, so he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. So that phrase, the mountain of God, means it is either a dedicated mountain to God or the place God dwells in a special way, since all the mountains belong to him. So anyway, Horeb is what Moses described in the passage we're studying of Exodus 19 verse 2 in that phrase, in front of the mountain. In front of the mountain. So the point, Moses had described the location of Israel once they moved from Rephidim to the desert of Sinai. Unfortunately, despite many speculation of scholars, the exact location of this mountain cannot be determined today. The exact location. Now, not that that matters, but people just like to find some things out, but it wouldn't matter. All we know is what happened there. So, that aside then, Israel was now in the desert of Sinai, as reported in this 19th chapter of Exodus. In other words, Moses just introduced us so that we know what took place from Rephidim to when they got to Mount Sinai, all in preparation for what he will now begin to deal with us from next week. From next week's study, we'll begin to look at how God now begins to communicate. Because a lot of things, unusual things, happened in that desert or desert of Sinai. So all my interest this evening is simply to give you the background and then to remind you of this one fact. How important it is that we be detailed in communicating to people. Don't leave people guessing what is in your mind. You know, husbands and wives sometimes they do that to each other. He or she should have known what I'm thinking. No, they don't know. You tell them. In other words, go to the details. That's why these things are important, that we understand that if you want to communicate to people to understand you, keep them details in order that they cannot miss what you're telling them. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that you continue to be gracious to us, especially in light of the weather and all that. We know that you control everything. So we pray that you protect each member of this group. And we also pray that you grant this area the blessings of the rain without any judgment. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen.